Thank you, Jesus, that you seek us when we stray from the folds of God. Please be seated for our readings. Harold.
Good morning. Our first reading is Paul's letter to the Romans, chapter 10, beginning in verse 8. The word is near you. It is in your mouth and in your heart. That is the word of faith we are proclaiming, that if you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is with your heart that you believe and are justified, and it is with your mouth that you confess and are saved. As the scripture says, anyone who trusts in him will never be put to shame. For there is no difference between Jew and Gentile. The same Lord is Lord of all, and richly blesses all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Whakarongo ki te kupu a te wairua ki te hahi. Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Thanks be to God. Tamo tonu tāna kupu ki a tātou. And our tarongapai tapu, the Holy Gospel for today is from the Gospel of Luke, chapter 4, beginning at the first verse. Praise and glory to God. Te whaka moi miti te karoria ki te atua. The temptation of Jesus. Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit in the desert, where for 40 days he was tempted by the devil. He ate nothing during those days, and at the end of them he was hungry. The devil said to him, "If you are the Son of God, tell this stone to become bread." Jesus answered, "It is written, man does not live on bread alone." The devil led him up to a high place and showed him in an instant all the kingdoms of the world. And he said to him, "I will give you all their authority and splendor, for it has been given to me, and I can give it to anyone I want to. So if you worship me, it will all be yours." Jesus answered, "It is written, worship the Lord your God and serve him only." The devil led him to Jerusalem and had him stand on the highest point of the temple. "If you are the Son of God," he said, "throw yourself down from here, for it is written, he will command his angels concerning you to guard you carefully. They will lift you up in their hands so that you will not strike your foot against a stone." Jesus answered, "It says, do not put the Lord your God to the test." When the devil had finished all this tempting, he left him until an opportune time. Te ronga pai tēnei, a te ka aite. This is the gospel of Christ. Praise to Christ the word. Whakamoe matitia ea te kupu mana.
Thanks, Harold. Well, kia ora, everybody. How you doing? All right? Good. Kapai from the front there. We are entering the season of Lent. So I think Ben preached last week, didn't he, on Ash Wednesday and the beginning of Lent. And this is the first Sunday of Lent. So what's Lent all about? Well, we've got on our first gospel reading for this Sunday is really that whole thing. What's Lent all about? Jesus going into the desert, led by the Spirit, for how long? 40 days and 40 nights, yeah. So Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan and was led by the Spirit. So I think there's just two things that I wanted to say about this. One is that he was led by the Spirit into this period of time. And it was the Spirit that led him, and the Spirit's with him, and it's the Spirit's idea, as it were. You know, it's God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit working together, and he heads into the wilderness, this sort of place where there isn't much, and he fasts and prays for 40 days and 40 nights. And there's this kind of, and during that time, where he's really sort of living without a lot of the normal things that he would have, a lot of the comforts and stuff that he would have been familiar with. While he's living without those things, he's devoting himself to prayer. And he's deliberately not, you know, he's going without food and things like that, and he's devoting himself to prayer. And in the middle of all of this, obviously we have these temptations, and the devil comes along and he tempts him. There's lots and lots that we could say, so much that we could say. We could do a whole series on this, but we're not going to, obviously. We're just going to do a couple of minutes. But I just thought that I'd read to you what we read on Ash Wednesday as an introduction to Lent. So my prayer is that we, as the body of Christ, along with Christians all over the world, you know, in this season, as we go into Lent, that we are led by the Spirit. You know, that it's not of our doing and we're trying to make something happen so much. We've got, well, anyway, I'll come to that. But we're led by the Spirit primarily. Does that make sense? So we're being led by the Spirit into this season. And these are the words that we sort of use as an introduction to Lent on Ash Wednesday, which we've just had. A friend of mine was just saying that she missed Ash Wednesday, and she was like really gutted because I think she, you know, she was working, she couldn't go to a service. But she got to the train station in Wellington on Ash Wednesday, which is the Wednesday just gone, as I say, and she said there were these three billowing figures at the top of the stairs of the station. And it turns out it was Katie, who sometimes comes here, but, you know, who's the dean of the cathedral, and a couple of others, Joe McGarry and a couple of others from the cathedral, standing there, ashing people, anyone that wanted to be ashed. Yeah, as they were commuting and coming into their work in Wellington. And she was like, oh, thank goodness, I really... And so she went, and gosh, I don't know how many... I have to ask Katie at the cathedral how many people actually did that, you know. But obviously it was helpful. And I have no idea how they did it or anything, but there they were, and they did it. But anyway, yeah, for those who want to know what's all that about, listen to last week's sermon by Ben. But that's where, well, I can't really go into that today. But this is what we say on Ash Wednesday, which introduces Lent. Brothers and sisters in Christ, since early days, Christians have observed with great devotion the time of our Lord's passion, his suffering and death, and resurrection, and prepared for this by a season of fasting and penitence. By carefully keeping these days, Christians take to heart the call to repentance and the assurance of forgiveness proclaimed in the gospel, and so grow in faith and in devotion to the Lord. I invite you, therefore, in the name of the brothers and sisters of Christ in the church, to the observance of a holy Lent by self-examination and repentance, by prayer, fasting, and self-denial, and by reading and meditating on God's holy word. It's quite good, isn't it? It's sobering, you know, it's serious. And Lent is a little bit sobering and a little bit serious. So what are we about? Why are we, what are we hoping to sort of prepare? We're preparing ourselves in some ways, aren't we, for the celebrating and the death and resurrection of Jesus, which is at the heart of our faith. And we're doing this, we just get this yearly opportunity I think, for a spring clean. I mean, it's not spring for us, but you know what I mean. For a kind of a peeling back of the layers, like, you know, like an onion, and you kind of peel to get to the heart of the thing. And it's an opportunity to kind of go, oh, well, what do I need to, what have I sort of taken on over this last year that actually I don't need that. You know, what things do I need to strip away to get back to the heart of the matter? What I really want my life to be about. Does that make sense? Yeah. So we're trying to get to the heart of things. So if you go on to the next slide, the three sort of questions, you know, or temptations that the devil brings to Jesus. Jesus answers each of them with these words that I think are fantastic. Obviously, they're fantastic. One does not live. So he's like, you know, just if you're hungry, you know, so turn these stones into bread. Jesus says, one does not live by bread alone, but by every word which comes from the mouth of God. And so in these 40 days, Jesus, and hopefully in these 40 days, we are trying to say, look, I mean, I don't know about you, but we live by the things around us, don't we? I love going out to eat. I just do. I love good food, you know, and I love a good, as you know, because I say it enough, you know, I love a good beer and a good pie. Yeah, exactly. I love a good pie. I love all these things. And they're not, it's not wrong to love, you know, food. It's good. It's a good God-given thing. It's a joy. And it's life for me. Good food, good drink, you know, good pies. These are good things and they give me life, but they are not my life. Or if they become my life, I'm in trouble. If I live only by those things. And Lent's a chance for me to go, these things are good. They're not, you know, it's not like either or. Body bad, spirit good. It's not like that. Those are good things. But they're not my life. Do you know what I mean? Underneath it all, my life comes from God. And I want to remember that. So whilst these are good things, giving up one or two of those good things helps me to remember, oh yeah, I do love those. They're great. But actually, there's something deeper. I don't live by bread alone, but I live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. Does that make sense? Yeah. And so fasting isn't about sort of beating ourselves up or anything. But, you know, it's about saying, these are good things. Or maybe some of them aren't good, and maybe I just need to give them up forever. But but these are good things. But I want to say, I want to get to the good thing under the good things. So I want to peel away a few of these things and concentrate. And that even makes it more of a celebration of the goodness in life of God when we come to Easter. You know, we look at the death of Christ, and then we look at the resurrection of Christ from the dead, and we're able to celebrate again. And then you welcome back into your life all those pies or whatever it is. And they really are a celebration, and they're a joy again, and you savor them even more. And the life that comes from those things that is really recognized as the life of God. Does that make sense? You know what I'm saying? Yeah. So one does not live by bread alone. If you go on to the next slide, this is the second answer that Jesus gives, you know, when it's like, you know, the devil says, worship me and I'll give you all these kingdoms and blah, blah, blah. Just bow down to me. And Jesus says, worship the Lord your God and serve him only. Worship the Lord your God and serve him only. He is the one whom, you know, our ultimate love and worship and everything goes to. And again, Lent's a chance for us to kind of reorient our hearts and say, well, what do I really love? What am I spending my time on? What am I kind of worshipping, if you like? Or what am I prioritizing? What am I giving my energies and time to? And, you know, and actually reorienting our hearts. I mean, I was challenged the other day because, again, this friend of mine said, what are you giving up for Lent? And I was like, I suppose I should give up something because I'm the vicar. And I was honest. I said, look, well, actually, Lent sort of just crept up on me. There's been so much going on. I haven't had much of a chance to think about it. And I thought, that's really bad. And I felt really guilty. Once I got over myself, I thought, well, what should I give up? And why am I giving something up? What's the point? And I think if you go on to the next slide, it's a really good book, actually. I don't know, you may or may not be interested in it, but You Are What You Love, but by James K.A. Smith. He's a sort of, theologian-y type person, but that's a really accessible book. But in this book, he says, rather than, you are what you eat, obviously, or you are what you whatever, it's you are what you love. And he, a bit like, in the Psalms, it says, those who worship idols will become like them. Those who worship them will become like them. Where the things we love, we actually become like those things. They shape us. So if you go on to the next slide, he says, you are what you love, but you might not love what you think. And I found that really challenging. You are what you love, but you might not love what you think. Because when I think about it, what am I spending my time and energy, my actual time in the day on? Where is my heart leaning? Do you know what I'm saying? What do I love, really? When I look at my actions from outside and how I spend my life, things I do, what does that say? What does that look like I love? You know what I mean? Because that probably is what I love. So I'm not trying to guilt trip anyone, so don't. But it's just a question to ask, isn't it? We are what we love, but might not love what we think. So Lent, if you hop onto the next slide, is an opportunity or an invitation to reorient our hearts, to ask those questions and to recalibrate our hearts. And we do that. Jesus has given us this gift of fasting, of self-denial. And it's a gift. It's actually a joy. In the Orthodox Church, they call Lent Great Lent. And, they kind of go into it with gusto. And they fast all sorts of things. They fast cheese and eggs and all this sort of thing. I remember hearing an Orthodox chap giving a sermon, and he was saying, he's a really lovely guy. He sounded a bit like Dumbledore or something. But anyway, he was. He said something like, I miss cheese and eggs. I really like a good boiled egg in the morning or something like this, and I miss my eggs. But I tell you, on Easter morning, I'm going to enjoy my egg again. He was really like looking forward to this egg. So anyway, but it is that thing, isn't it? It's an opportunity it's a good thing. They go into it with gusto. So stripping away some of these things is a good thing, and it's a way. So I thought that, I thought, I do need to give something. I'm not going to tell you what I'm giving up. But I do need that discipline in my life. And I kind of need it to be, for me anyway, and for most of us, I think, physical. Something, and to do with perhaps food or drink or whatever. Because it recalibrates my heart. It's not because that thing is a bad thing, necessarily, at all. It's nothing to do with that. It's not because I want to beat myself up or, something like that. It's simply to go, I want to strip away a bit here. This is a gift Jesus gave me. Jesus went into the desert and he fasted And he went into the desert, a wilderness. Yeah, he did without for 40 days and 40 nights. He didn't carry on like that afterwards. You know, afterwards he did do some eating and drinking and all that sort of thing. But for that time, he stripped away the things that we normally rely on and depend on. And I thought, I need to do, that's a gift from Jesus. I want to do a little bit of that. And I'm doing it in a pathetically small way. But it needs, I want to be able to feel it enough to be going, whew, you know. Yeah, because it recalibrates my heart. It gets me back to what I truly worship, or it re-educates my heart. It's like, no, I do actually care about Jesus more. I really think I do. I want to. You know, I want to. And here's a way that I can start recalibrating my heart quite practically and saying, yeah, okay, this is, Jesus is more important than this thing I love. And I'm going to prove it physically. And I'm going to educate my heart. No, this is true. I'm going to live like this for just a few days, for 40 days. You know? And I think that re-educates, recalibrates our hearts. I think that helps us to go, yeah, that is, no, this is, yes, you, Lord, are the one I love and that I worship. Yeah, my life, I do find life in those things, but I want to say my life is in you. Does that make sense? Yeah, that's it. That's really what I'm inviting us into, really, what I hope and believe. Well, no, I do believe God is inviting us into, you know, that we'd be led by the Spirit into this time of just stripping away some of those things and getting back to the heart of things, getting back to the nub of the fact that it is not by bread alone that, you know, that we live, but it's by God's word, that it's not these things that we love ultimately, but it's God whom we worship and serve only. And then we can find real joy in those other things. So, yeah. So, and then the final thing that Jesus says is on the next slide. So this is when the devil says, you know, go up on the temple and throw yourself down and the angels will catch you and you won't harm yourself and all this. And Jesus says, and all I wanted to say about this, there's, again, many, many things that can be and have been said about this, but Jesus says to the devil, there's the devil tempting him, right, testing him. And the word test is used a number of times about what the devil's doing. You know, the Spirit led him into the wilderness to be tested by the devil, you know, and then it says at the end, when the devil had finished testing Jesus on all these things, and here, you know, he says, do this thing. And Jesus says to him, you shall not put the Lord your God to the test. And whatever else we can say about that, this is Jesus saying, Satan, don't put me, the Lord your God, to the test. You know? I remember a Bible cartoon story thing that we watched when I was a kid. And in it, I'd heard that line so many times in church, but I'd never heard it the way they presented it. But it's like Jesus suddenly, it's almost like the Mount of Transfiguration, you know, in the cartoon. And when he says it and you realize, oh my gosh, Jesus is God. You know, it's Jesus that is the Lord your God. And Jesus, it's the Lord God, Jesus, talking to Satan, saying, don't put me to the test. You know what I mean? And so all of that just to say that, again, through Lent and through into Good Friday and through into Easter Sunday, we want to be coming to Jesus. We want to be stripping it all away, saying we don't live by bread alone, but we live by every word that comes from the mouth of God. We want to worship the Lord our God and serve him only, and we see him fully revealed in Jesus Christ. It's Jesus that shows us the Father, It's Jesus who is the way, the truth, and the life. It's Jesus who, you know, John worships at the end of John's gospel. Thomas and kneels down and says, "My Lord and my God, my Lord and my God." It's Jesus who is the one who is crucified, died, and is risen, and who, by the Spirit, leads us into this time of 40 days of fasting, prayer, repentance, of just recalibrating our hearts and saying, what's most important to us? What do I really love? Who do I really want to love? And how can I reorient myself just a little bit? All right? That's it, really. So I just thought we'd finish with a prayer, a short time of prayer. And these are some, you know, prayers based around the theme of Lent. But we'll, in these prayers, we'll pray for one another, we'll pray for the world, we'll pray for the church. And there'll be just a few moments of silence in each section for us to lift up to the Lord what's on our hearts on the theme of whatever we've just been talking about. So, but again, you know, and I'll just invite you to say, when I say, Lord, in your mercy, we can all say, hear our prayer. All right? So, Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray to the Lord for courage to give up other things and to give ourselves to him this Lent. Give your church the courage to give up her preoccupation with herself and to give more time to your mission in the world. May the blood and water flowing from the side of Jesus bring forgiveness to your people and help us to face the cost of proclaiming salvation. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give your world the courage to give up war, bitterness, and hatred, and to seek peace. May the shoulders of the risen Jesus, once scourged by soldiers, bear the burden of political and military conflict in our world. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us the courage to give up quarrels, strife, and jealousy in our families, neighborhoods, and communities. May the presence of the risen Jesus, his body once broken and now made whole, bring peace and direction as we live with one another. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Give us the courage to give up our selfishness as we live for others and to give time, care, and comfort to the sick. May the wounded hands of Jesus bring his healing touch and the light of his presence fill their rooms. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. And finally, give us the courage to give up our fear of death and to rejoice with those who have died in the faith. May the feet of the risen Lord Jesus, once nailed to the cross, walk alongside the dying and bereaved in their agony, and walk with us and all your church through death to the gate of glory. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Amen.